Blog Talk Radio.
Allahi Rabbil Alameen. محمده على رسوله الكريم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله Praise be to Allah, Guardian, Evolver, Cherisher and Sustainer of all the worlds. We glorify Him, praise Him for the blessing of Muhammad, and we bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Him alone, and that Muhammad is His messenger. Allah the Most High says in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم. O you who believe, fear Allah and believe in His Apostle, and He will bestow on you a double portion of His mercy. He will provide for you a light by which you shall walk straight in your path, and He will forgive you your past sins, for Allah is all-forgiving and most merciful. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and the blessings be upon him, is sent as a mercy to all people. For all people. Rahmatan linnas, a mercy for all people. And what is that mercy really to be seen or understood? Many prophets came before Prophet Muhammad with guidance from Allah, however there was an expectation among the people of the book, among the people of scripture, and that expectation is a belief that God would one day send a messenger, a prophet, raise up a prophet, or send a messenger that would lift all burdens from the people, all unjust burdens from the people. We have in Quran a mentioning of this gift of Allah to the people that resembles quite a lot what is said concerning a liberator in the coming to the people in the Bible, in the Bible. And I would like to read also a few verses regarding the liberator. الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به عزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. Those who follow the apostles, the unlettered prophets, whom they find mentioned in their own scripture, the law and the gospel, for he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil. He allows them as lawful what is good and pure, and prohibits them from what is bad and impure. He releases them from their heavy burdens and from the yokes that are upon them. So it is those who believe in him, honor him, help him, and follow the light which is sent down with him. It is they who will prosper. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. It is they who will prosper, who will be successful. Returning now to the verse wherein God promised the believers a double portion of his mercy. Most of the people in religion, as we find it practiced among the people of the book, see religion as a spiritual way, and they are not always aware that it is also a rational way. The piety of most of these religious people is a spiritual piety. We know that in our religion we are encouraged to come into the right attitude of mind regarding our spiritual life. Taqwa is very basic, very fundamental for us as Muslims. It means sincere devotion to obedience under God, and awareness of him all the time, so that whatever we do it in the light of what pleases God. This is taqwa. Prophet Muhammad said, we should worship God as though we see him, because if we do not see him, he sees us. So we are always aware that God is seeing everything we are doing. He's aware of everything that is going on, the inmost thoughts that don't register on our conscious mind or in our conscious mind. Allah is aware of everything. So we are to have that taqwa, we are to have that piety, and we are to seek it, and we are even to seek to excel in it, because God says in the Quran, compete in taqwa for the mercy of God, for his mercy. So we are to try to excel in this strict obedience to God, this kind of spiritual devotion and spiritual piety. But at the same time, God has promised rational guidance, has promised that he would give the people knowledge that would remove from them burdensome conditions that hinder practical advancement in life. People don't only want to be pious and spiritual, but people want to thrive as a community and reach their full potential and get the benefits of this life as well as hereafter. For God says in the Quran, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Seek with whatever means God make available to you, God has availed you, the promised life, the end world. However, don't neglect your share in this present dunya, in this physical world. We're not to give our heart to the dunya. We're to give our heart to God. But God says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not neglect your share in this world. I would like to say at this point that the double portion that God offers us is that. The spiritual devotion, spiritual aspiration, but also rational insight and material or economic aspirations as well. And God has promised us that He will give us a high place in the world, that if we are truly believers, if we trust Him, if we are truly believers, He will make us the leaders in the world. So can any Muslim not expect that if he's faithful to God, he's going to rise not only spiritually, not only morally and spiritually, but he's also going to rise materially, because God has promised that too. With Prophet Muhammad came the complete message for the complete life, and people were encouraged under Prophet Muhammad to accept full responsibility in society. Full responsibility means responsibility for our moral life, responsibility for our academic life, responsibility for our business life, responsibility for our political life, responsibility for the whole life. We have on one side those who want to go to paradise, and they're ready to go right now. And we have on the other side those who want to go, but they'd rather go later. They have something to do here. Now, if we can get those who want to go to paradise right now, not later, but at the same time they want to please God by doing what they have to do here, then we have the best one. What we do should be for the pleasure of God. Dear beloved people, it is a great mercy to us that God raised up Prophet Muhammad and made possible for all people to get this book. That's a great mercy. This book gives us a complete life. It provokes in us a desire to reach our full human capacity, our full human potential. And if we truly believe in Allah and accept His revelation, His guidance, we will always be lively people, enthusiastic people. We will always have that spark of life that we call motivation. But if we don't set our hearts in the right direction, if we don't fix our sights on God, for Allah says in this Quran, in the end, the believers' light will go before their faces, will go before, ahead of them, before their faces, from their faces, going straight forward. And their look will be toward their Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Dear beloved people, how many of us have the light on our faces? Many of us say we believe, but when we see your faces, there's no light coming from the face. You know, there is burden. So that means you haven't yet received the double portion that Allah promised you. When you receive the double portion, the face won't be dull, the face will be bright. You'll be happy. And the slightest hint of God brings joy to your heart. You become alive, you know. Maybe you are kind of beaten down under the burdens of life, providing for your family and or doing whatever you have to do. But the moment one says, Allah, oh, life. Yes. When we are blessed with hereafter, then there we will be in the presence of all that is good. There we will be in the presence of all that is good. We will be away from all that is bad, you see? So we will be happy all the time. We will be bright-faced all the time. We will be looking up all the time. But while we're in the world, we have our bad days. We have the sad times, you know? But the believer, the sign of the believer is that whenever you hear Allah's name, It is as though the Jannah is there. The paradise is right there. Because Allah reminds him of the good. And Allah, the remembrance of Allah is so strong that it just blots out all the things that he's worrying you with. You see? Yes. So it's so strong. It's stronger than any problem we got. The remembrance of Allah is stronger than any difficulty we are faced with or any hurt we might have sustained. You see? So the word of God brings life to the believer. It is faith lights up. When I came in here, you looked like you were down. But as I began to talk on God and his word, your faces now look like sun. You like a lot of sunshine. A lot of sunshine out there. That's the proof that Allah's name brings joy to the hearts of the believer, brings life to the believer, so much so that even if the world has him in the grave, he comes right forth. So you thought I was dead? No, I'm alive. Praise be to Allah. Dear beloved Muslims, this religion cannot be bought with the whole world. The whole world, if we could take it in our hand as a price to buy this religion, is not enough. No, it's not enough. Because the world cannot give us what this Quran has given us. The world cannot give us what we have in Prophet Muhammad as an example for human beings. You see, this is really the life. And as Allah says in the Quran, everything else is illusion, deception. Illusion, deception. And if we don't have the right attitude, if our minds are not, our hearts are not directed in the right direction, then whatever we get of this world is just a curse upon us. Eventually, we're going to have to separate from it, or it's going to destroy us. This is salvation indeed. Every Muslim should feel complete in his mind. He shouldn't be bothered with racism. He shouldn't be bothered with this American sexism. He should be complete in his mind. He should be comfortable with himself. Because he is a servant of Allah. He is the creation of Allah. He is the dignified creation of Allah, having equal dignity with every other human being. So this, we should, well, I don't want to know who my ancestor was. I'm not looking for King Sufu. I'm not looking for those people. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is what I am. And Allah has told me what I am. And that's a big enough challenge in itself. I want to become what Allah says I am. I don't have to look for any destiny. I'm not looking for any political destiny or any religious destiny or any... Oh, the destiny is here in me. God says you are a Khalifa. That I have made everything of service to you. Everything in the skies, everything in the earth. You are my custodian. You can handle this thing with me. Not without me. You can handle this thing with me. I don't fear money. I don't fear office of power. I don't fear anything. And that's what we want to come in all of the Bilalian people who have been oppressed, who have been beaten down, and who have lost motivation because they don't know the dignity that Allah has given them. We want to bring this to everybody who's suffering. This is our duty. You know, some of us think that we're only to propagate this among Muslims. If that's the truth, then what Muslim Prophet Muhammad had to propagate to when he began? There wasn't a single believer around for him to talk to. And he came to the worst part of the earth. The darkest part. The most disrupted part. They thought they were up there, but they weren't there. They were way out of place, you know. And he came to the most backward people, and he addressed them with this message. So that tells me that the good medicine is to be given first to the sick. He didn't look for Christians, did he? So this is scripture from God. Let me first go give it to the Jews and the Christians. Oh, he gave it to the pagans. He gave it to the pagans. Because they were the ones who were farthest from the truth. I mean, you know, we can go and we can quote this and we can quote that, but we won't make sense unless we quote what I said just now. Well, it makes sense, you know. Some things make sense and some things don't. Praise be to Allah. We should know our dignity that is our own. We should know the dignity of our role in this creation. That's our own. Every Muslim man, whether he's working for me, or for you, or for the street cleaner, or for the President of the United States, or for the King of Saudi Arabia, every Muslim man is a servant of Allah. He has a boss bigger than all these bosses. And every other boss he turns his head away from when Allah says come. That's what we understand. Then the man who's doing a menial task, he can feel dignity in doing that menial task. Because if he performs that well, he is serving Allah as well as the man who performs the task in the presidency. Yes. You see how this is a mercy to us? How it is a double mercy to us? It enables us to not only find peace with spiritual communication, spiritual meditation, a peace with dhikr, reflection on God, but enable us to find peace while we are suffering in the world. It makes hell livable. Yes, it makes hell livable. Why? Because there's the right attitude of mind. The right attitude of mind. So the world doesn't make me feel that I'm inferior because I'm in an inferior situation, not when I know my place in the eyes of God. And this is what we should always know, and none of us should ever carry our heads low thinking that we are black, or thinking that we are beneath other people. No. Look, God in the Quran mentioned to us for our own enlightenment, and the colors are natural.
Yes.
You find the different colors in the plants, in the animals, and it's our mind is directed to the mountains. In the mountain, you find the stones in the mountain of the deepest black, jet black, and of whitest white, and of red. It's symbolic. Well, you know, mountain is symbolic of leadership, symbolic of government, symbolic of power. So God is saying, you know, you people have a problem with different races coming to the leadership. Well, take a sign from the mountain. Don't keep him out because of his color. God let the same color come in the plant you eat, come in the food you eat, come in the animals that you love. God let the same color come in the top of the mountain that you say you want to get up on. Yes, everybody want to go to the top of the mountain. Yeah, but Allah through my mama say, yeah, you see on the top? You want to go there? You see on the top? There's the deepest black, there's the jet black, and there's the whitest white, and there's the red. Go on up there. You'll find out what's happening sooner or later. This is what we want to understand. We want to understand the mercy that has come to us in this clear message to bring us easy, freely into our human potential, into the whole human potential, so we can live comfortable lives free of the yokes and burdens of racial prejudices, of political and material ignorance. No need for it. If we would practice this religion, practice this book as we should practice it, don't you know we would have the most successful community on this earth? Because, after all, if I'm a Muslim, I believe that this is a superior book. This is a superior knowledge. If it's superior, then the society that follows it should be superior. But I shouldn't want a dominance, although God promised me that I will be on top. The believers will get the top. But if I desire the top, then the wrong attitude is in me, so Allah deny it. I should desire equality with everybody. I should desire to see everybody get the benefit of the life that Allah has revealed. Yes, everybody. But at the same time, I should be aware that God wants responsible persons in positions of leadership. So I shouldn't sit down here and say, oh, I'm not going to be the President of the United States. Why not? You don't want to be the President of the United States to rule over people. You want to be the President of the United States to serve Allah on behalf of people or for the good of people. So why shouldn't you want to be President?
Don't let any of us get too holy for the presidency of the United States. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Seek with what God has availed you, the promised end. But don't forget this present dunya. And I'm sure I understand that some of you all speak a little Arabic now. That's why I'm saying dunya. I don't want you to make any mistake. I'm saying dunya. You know, you meet some of these people who are other world people. And every time you say dunya, they say, dunya, no dunya. Dunya sin, no dunya. Well, God says in this book plainly that I have a share of this dunya, and I want it myself. I owe it to myself to get a piece of this dunya. But I'm going to obey God and look for my share of this dunya. And I believe when I get into paradise, there's going to be somebody who says, do you have your ticket proving that you earned a share of dunya? And if I don't have a ticket proving that I earned my share of dunya, say, hey, you had to go back. Go back. Some of us think we have to become spooky people. Reject life. Hate wealth. Hate sex. Marry and go through it, but with your nose turned up. Put cotton in your nose. Yeah. Let's not go that far. That takes us out of the nature that Allah has put us in. Let us love our wives. Let us be natural with our wives. Do you know there are people who are more learned than we are in this religion? I mean, as far as knowing what's in the book, what's in Hadith, what's in the Sharia, there are people more learned than we are. And I have talked with them, and many of them, the learned people, don't have any problems with these things. It's the ignorant people that have problems, because they have been misguided by other world people. Yes. No. They say when you before going to your wife, you say, Bismillah. No,
that's right.
Many of them say when you enter your wife, come to wife and man, nothing might have got it. Bismillah. When you have enjoyed each other, Alhamdulillah. We think, oh, we wait till we wash up, let's have a ablution, let's take a full bath, and then we'll say Allah. We can't say Allah, though. Baby, we can't say Allah now. This is what it takes to bring us back into the natural form that Allah created us in. So I thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad for sending us the complete prophet with the complete message for all the world, for guiding us to the light where we can live the full human life. We thank Allah for his guidance. We ask that he bless us to be a people like that community raised by Prophet Muhammad, a just community, a community seeking the full benefit that Allah has created for his creature, Ameen. Praise be to Allah, guardian, evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all the world. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Dear beloved Muslims, in concluding the khutbah, I want to mention the good work that I have learned about in this community. The good efforts that you are making to strengthen your community. I hope that all of us will support, give full support to these efforts, because they are the efforts that will really dignify this community. I'm so happy to see Muslims, American, African-American descent, African descent in America.
inshallah, assalamu alaikum, it will continue as one of the makeups from the old 60-minute cassette. So it takes some time for the recording to play after the turnover.
Muslims, American, African-American descent, African descent in America, Bilalians, working with immigrant Muslims and not feeling a separation, a racial separation or any color division among us. This is truly the sign of a Muslim who have understood his religion. When we do not look at each other because of the color, but we look at each other because of the truth, the goodness, the righteousness of God, that God has blessed that person with, that is in that person. Obedience to God, taqwa, and good deeds. This is what we look to. This is what we look for. And when we really come into the full knowledge of our religion, you can't see people as color. You know, somebody has to remind you. Say he's a different color. They have to remind you, man, it's golden. You leave that. You leave that. And I have often told audiences that I have been speaking to that it is against, really, the cultural nature, the cultural life of the African American to have such ignorant color prejudices. That's against us. You know, we never had until just here recently. We were against that sort of thing. If we didn't like a Caucasian, it was because of his deeds. It wasn't because of his color. And it's just reason in the history of the Bilalian people in America that we have come into this race consciousness. You know, and as one of the imams so beautifully put it, he said, the Nation of Islam gave that to the black people in America, and the Nation of Islam is going to take it away. Yes. And that's true, you know. I remember in late 50s and even early 60s, you couldn't, the majority of the African-American people didn't want to be called black. They would insist on being called colored, or Negroes, not black, you know. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he brought something real to our minds, you know. Then why should you deny what you really are? If you're really black, why not say it? Don't say it in Spanish, say it in English, you know. So he brought something real to our mind, you know. So we stopped saying Negro and start saying black. But he had also brought something else to our mind, that if we kept that in our mind, we can't be satisfied with just being called black. He told us, you are not a race, you are a nation. And nations usually comprise people of different colors and different races. It's pretty hard to find a nation on earth today with one color in it. And he told us that you belong to a membership numbering into the hundreds of millions. He said, don't think when you register up here, you're becoming a member of just this state. He said, you become a member of the worldwide membership of Muslims. Now, you know, we can say he was a game player. Yes, he was a game player. But I like some parts of his game. A lot I threw out, but I think I kept more than I threw out. And I would advise you who have come under him to do the same. Keep the good, throw out the bad. Keep what is consistent with this book, what agrees with this book, and throw out that disagree with it. And I'm telling you, much of the logic that he gave us, it agrees with this book. In fact, when he's talking about the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the economic program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad was first and all a man that said this book was the right book. And this book says that dignity of man is not only spiritual, but also material. Man must improve his material life in order to feel dignified. Yes. God doesn't want us suffering on the bottom with nothing and material misery, and there are people walking around with all the goods. That's a sin in Islam, right? So we have to try to get our share in the world. And it's good to see you coming together, pooling your resources, strong people, trustworthy people, forming committees, forming organizations to get something done. Because this is what's going to really get
those people that we want. Don't we want all millenniums to become Muslims?
Right.
How can any of us really understand this religion and really sense the great benefits of being a Muslim and not want the same thing for our people who have been spit in their own bodies? Haven't been able to see themselves, haven't been able to see their role in the world, haven't been able to see their dignity in society or in the world society. Don't we want to see them too, be free?
Right.
We want them to have the same freedom. The freedom of being comfortable with what they are.
Right.
And black power doesn't do it.
No, sir.
Black nationalism can't do it.
No, sir.
Civil rights can't do it.
No.
Legislating can't do it. Forcing the issues of civil rights have not done it. It can't do it. Still we find our people subject to the winds of influences. They can be kicked out of spiritualism right into racism by a change of climate in political and cultural America. That tells us that our folks have not yet found themselves. And the only way they can find themselves is through the light of this book. So all of us want to see our brother, our sister, who have suffered the same history we have suffered, come into this religion. The best way to get them to appreciate this religion is to dignify our community. It begins with the right attitude toward our Creator.
Yes.
It goes to the right attitude toward His messengers.
Yes.
That mean accept Father Muhammad as the complete man, as the final messenger of God. The one to whom the Quran was revealed about 1,400 years ago. Nothing will stop us from accepting that, but some artificiality, that artificial racism, artificial white-mindedness, white mind, white mentality has bred into us. There is nothing from the natural life of us, from the natural history of us, that will stop us from accepting Prophet Muhammad.
Right.
The fact of that is this. We accepted Jesus. Not as a prophet, as God.
Yes.
Now you tell me people who accepted another race as God figure can't accept another race as a prophet? What's wrong with us? And I think there's great opportunity for us to earn great reward from God in being other than Arabs. I think the person who's not an Arab has an extra opportunity, has a kind of special blessing in not being an Arab, although the Arab has a special blessing in being Arab, one of the people who speak the Arabic language. Well, after all, we are talking about Arabs, as most of the scholars will tell you, we are talking about the Arabic language. For Allah wasn't interested in a particular color. He chose a language.
Yeah.
And He chose that language because it had the richest expressions in it. It was a language that was capable of the richest expression. He didn't choose Arabia and Arabs because they were Arabs. He chose it because of the language. And it so happened that Prophet Muhammad was there.
Yeah.
But Prophet Muhammad, we don't know whether he's Aryan. No. Who knows?
That's right.
Maybe Hagar got a lot to do with him. We don't know. Yeah. Abraham and Hagar, right? Well, he never made it an issue. Who knows, you know? They say he was red-skinned or reddish face, you know? Well, we don't know if he really could see him right there. I wouldn't be surprised if he might be near my complexion or so. I don't. We don't know, right? We shouldn't even make an issue of it. But we should be happy to know that here is a prophet that God has sent to all people. And in him, even racially, we see a connection with the African blood. Hagar, as you know, was a slave woman to Sarah. Is that right? Servant of Sarah. Now we know you should at least sense that if they had a slave, if Sarah had a slave, she wasn't white, you know, and in Egypt too, where all those black folks are, I'm sure she had a black slave. And most of the people say, yes, that Hagar must have been of the African people. She must have been of the African people. So isn't enough to know that Hagar's back there somewhere?
That's right.
Well, actually, the whole humanity can identify it with him. Because he had the black line and the white line.
That's right.
It came together.
That's Is that right?
No,
I don't, you know, I can't be for certain that Hagar was really black, you know, really black. But I believe that she was. I believe that. I believe she was. Because I know in Egypt, I have never seen any white, light-looking folks in the servile positions. I've been to Egypt, and they still have that tradition. You know, the Nubians are about the blackest people you find over there. And you find the Nubians serving them coffee, serving the light Egyptians coffee, and dusting things off and carrying the grips for them, you know. So I think Hagar must have been like that Nubian. But we don't know. We're not certain of that. All right. So that's enough, you know. That's enough. But even if the Prophet Muhammad was racially pure Aryan, white, pure, that makes no difference. Makes no difference. Why? Because Allah says that you all are children of Adam. And I guess you must have got the color just the way the black got it. Just the way the animals got it. Just the way the stones got it. That's a physical phenomenon. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has nothing to do with the human soul. The soul doesn't have to take on the color of the environment, the physical environment. Mm-hmm. Yes. The soul is a different light, a different thing. You see? So we still shouldn't feel bad. And God said, and Adam was made from the dust. Right. What are you saying? Uh-huh. If you're looking for any ancestor that you can boast in over somebody else, then okay, here is the truth. When you find that ancestor, that first ancestor, you will find a creature made from the dust. He wasn't no shake. Yeah, he wasn't no king. He was dust. And God brought him up from the dust. God made him a man. So what does that tell me now if I'm in an unfavorable situation? It tells me that I have a common origin with everybody else.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And if I have again become dust, I have a way to come from dust, as it happened before.
Yes.
I have a way to come from dust to the excellence of man. Because the first man, he was dust.
Right.
You know what dust is?
Yeah.
Dust is no life.
That's right.
Dust is weak.
Mm-hmm.
Dust has no stability.
Right.
Can't fix itself. Can't anchor itself.
Right.
You waited in a hole for a little while. The wind come and sweep dust away.
Yeah.
Just take it in the air.
Yeah.
You know? Well, if God says that he made the first man from that, then if I have been reduced to the lowest denominator
yes.
in the value of people, I can be raised to the highest denominator possible for any human being. Because God did it once. With dust. Yes, that's the way we should look at this. That we have one common origin, one common essence. And we can achieve what anybody else can achieve. And the nearest to God will be the most successful. Yes. Praise be to Allah. Now, in my conclusion, I want to mention something that was brought to my attention that Prophet Muhammad said about this color thing. Because I believe it's not you. They're your friends. They're somebody. They have a problem. You know, with the Klan carrying on this foolishness or whoever's carrying on this foolishness. With them doing these evil things and citing the media to spread the news of their trouble. You know, the minds are changing now and people are losing direction and giving their mind to just reacting to hate and reacting to fear, you know, and that kind of thing can set us back.
Yes, sir.
So we want to keep our minds right. We are Muslims. Let's keep our minds right and never allow racial incidents to fix our direction. We have our direction. And the Klan can make all the hell they want over there. It's not going to take me out of my form as a Muslim. They're not going to make me become racist. Because when I become racist, I become as poison as he.
Yes.
Now here is sickness has made me sick,
yeah.
And now I'm a part of the sickness.
Right.
No, we don't want to be that. We want to be clever. We want to be shrewd. We want to be wise.
All right.
We want to be Muslim. Right. We want to be straightforward and committed to what Allah has charged us with.
Right.
And no matter what, we should be able to see the Klan come out and 50,000 strong. March down the street, take the whole street over, and burn crosses, and spew that hate all out in the city. We should be able to see that. And just look at it, just to calm it. Or walk away from it, get away from it if you can. And wait our day. Wait our day. That's right. Yes. We shouldn't allow them to pull us into their thing. That's what I'm saying. We shouldn't allow them to pull us into their thing. Because if they can get us to respond to their hate with a physical confrontation, they believe for sure that they can take many supporters away from our just cause. They believe that many Caucasians who are now committed to support the rights of the African-American people will then perhaps be drawn into a drunken kind of reaction and say, well, it's impossible. Impossible to live with blacks. Because after all, these are some of the blacks that we have befriended. These are some of the blacks that we have supported. These are some of the blacks that we have marched with.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the blacks that we have given our dollars to. And saying, look now how they're attacking just white folks. At random, just picking them out. You know, because that's what they want. You ain't going to look for a Klan. The Klan, if something happened, what is the mentality of our people
right.
who respond emotionally to that thing?
Uh-huh.
It's not to go look for the Klan.
Right.
It's to take it out on any white man they find, on any white person they find. Isn't that the mentality?
Right.
That's the attitude.
Yeah.
Now, that attitude, the Klan knows. He knows. The Klan knows that attitude. So the Klan is trying to provoke you to react physically against the Caucasian people so you will lose support in society. So you'll be isolated and have no support. Then the Klan won't be a weak minority. The Klan then will be a strong majority. You think I'll play into their hands when I know their trick? No. I can see him burn up the house. He might even kill my own child. No. I try to find the Klan. But I'm not going to go out there and take it out on any Caucasian, no. Or any white person, no. I'll try to find a Klan. Believe me, I'll sure try to find a Klan. And I'll save the government a whole lot of expenses. Do my best. Lord knows that. Well, I'll find a black one they do so me some too much harm. I'll find a black brother and kill him, man. No, I don't believe in suffering too much, you know. I don't believe in suffering too much. But I'll find that person that did. Not an innocent person. But they're trying to kick off a emotional racial reaction so that we'll just start a race war. That's what they want. They want a race war to justify their argument that we can't live together. Blacks must be separated, you see. We don't want that. So let us strive hard. Dear brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, it is said that one man was a little worried upon seeing his child not resembling him. He got a little suspicious. He exposed that feeling to the Prophet. And the Prophet said, do you have animals? He said, yes. He said, when they give birth, when the female gives birth, do they all come out looking like female? Do you have any looking different, like they don't belong? He said, yes, sometimes. He said, well, that's the same situation. So what I said that for to say this. The Prophet Muhammad, he was not a spooky prophet. He gave rational answers to people, and he guided the community that he led to trust rational knowledge, rational knowledge, rational truth. Don't be superstitious, you know. I'm telling you, I'm surprised when I see Muslims, after hearing this clear teaching, having some problem with the race and with color. You know, Allah bless us, really. In Africa, the all black person, all black people, tribe, they're not shocked when they see white folks. Maybe they never saw a white person in their life. But they're not no shock when they see white person. You notice how the Africans come and they see everybody. No, they don't have any problem. But some Caucasians who've never mixed or never seen Africans, when they see you, oh, it's like they're surprised, you know, or curious, real curious, you know. Now, I have had them walk up to me and look, I relieve them, you know. I relieve them, okay? Because I want to know too. What you do? What's bothering you? And I've actually had them walk up and do my hair like. And when I let them do it, I think they smile. They're happy with no hate, just get out there. You know, I feel my hair, you know. One young lady, she came and she felt my hair like this. So I looked at her, I smiled. I said, I've never felt hair like yours either. But now, you know, in Africa, they don't have that problem. Why? Because blackness is a result of physical environmental influence, okay? That's where the black, in fact, all your physical features, that's the result of the physical environment. Okay, so in Africa, the black man, he's a man who has been blackened over perhaps millions of years, we don't know, in the sun, you know? And the man up in the north, he's been living in the shade for millions of years, you see? So he hasn't been blackened by the sun. The man in the black, in the Africa, in the black country, occasionally something comes out that was there before he got black. And they call that an albino. Now the Caucasian has an albino too. They have albinos too. White man, he gets albino babies too. But his albino is not such a contrast, you know. When we have an albino, you know, he's such a contrast, you know. Here's a cold black man and here's a child born from him and his cold black wife. That's white. White. A white albino. Yes, born to a black man and a black wife, right? Black husband and black wife. And his eyes, not like it. The eyes are weak color. No strong color in the eyes, you know. And he's a weak too. The albino is weak, you know. But doesn't mean he's going to be intellectually weak.
No.
That albino with his shaky eyes, and his weak, he might turn out to be your boss. Please excuse me. The simple facts of reality will open our eyes. And that's the double potion.
Allah Akbar.
Oh Allah, guide us to the right path. Bless us with hearts devoted to you completely. Save our hearts from going back to sin and corruption. Oh Allah, we ask your choicest blessings upon Prophet Muhammad, upon his descendants, upon his companions, upon the righteous, all of them. Ameen.
Ameen.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night? Which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say. And how long have you held your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin. I say now people must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you...